there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hi, I'm Wendy Zuckerman, and you're listening to Shots of Science Verses. Today, we are looking into a scientifically approved personality test. It's one that researchers reckon can predict things like your longevity, your chance of divorcing, and even whether or not you'll get dementia. To tell us all about it is producer Michelle Dang.
Okay, so back in the 1920s, scientists started this quest to find out what are the core personality traits in humans.
Mm-hmm.
Like what fundamentally makes you different from me.
Right.
And over time, tons of scientists got in on this, looking at it from all sorts of angles, went around asking people, thousands, to describe the personalities of themselves and the people around them. What scientists noticed was that a lot of the words they were using kind of meant the same thing.
Oh, so like if someone would say, I'm generally anxious, and another person would be like, I worry a lot. They're like, yeah, those are all kind of the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. And scientists then whittled down all these different descriptions to just a handful of personality traits.
Uh-huh.
And at first, researchers tried this out on just U.S. white male college kids.
Mm-hmm.
But then much later, they played this game with lots of other people from lots of other cultures and ultimately worked out these five core personality traits that fit lots of people all around the world. It's called the Big Five.
This is cool. So there's like five personality traits that like really help to explain what makes us all different. What are they?
So there's agreeableness. How kind or warm are you?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's conscientiousness. That would be like how organized or responsible are you? Next, openness. Do you tend to be open-minded to new ideas, new experiences? I talked to Emery Beck, a personality psychologist from the University of California, Davis. Here's how she talks about openness.
The items that you're going to be asked for that are going to have to do with how creative you think you are. They're going to do with sort of like how intellectual or smart you think you are. They're going to have to do with sort of your sensitivity to things like art and music.
That's interesting that they consider being smart and intellectual as part of openness. But okay, so we've got agreeableness, conscientiousness, and openness. What's number four?
Extroversion, how social are you?
Okay.
And lastly, there's neuroticism.
People who are higher in neuroticism tend to sort of be vigilant about sort of noticing anything.
I feel like neuroticism in public parlance means something slightly different. So to scientists, neuroticism is that you notice things.
And yeah, it's like you can kind of think about it as being more anxious about things.
Right, because you notice them and then you can worry about them. That's...
Yeah. It also includes things like feeling more negative and irritated, though. How emotionally stable you are.
Oh, okay. So these are big, big umbrellas.
Yeah.
The Big Five. It's funny, like, I have heard of the Big Five, but It really doesn't sound that scientific, does it? Like, if you didn't know... If you were an alien onto this world and someone was like, you could take the Myers-Briggs... type indicator, or you could take the Big Five, which is science.
Yeah, it's a bit flashy. And the main reason why science likes this is that it doesn't end up putting you into a bucket like other personality tests do.
Right.
Now, you know, like whether it's a Myers-Briggs or what, Harry Potter house you're in or whatever. Because
Ravenclaw.
Hufflepuff. Because as we mentioned, humans are more complicated and the Big Five accounts for that.
Uh-huh. So like what do they tell you at the end of the day when you answer all of their questions?
Like you're super extroverted. You're a little neurotic. You're not very agreeable. You're kind of open and organized and done. There's no club. that it sticks you in.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Emery.
I'm not categorizing people as conscientious or not, or neurotic or not. Instead, you know, I have people with these sort of distributions of scores.
It'll just say this.
Be like, oh, you're in the 75th percentile of conscientiousness and the 30th percentile of agreeableness.
Now that we have this test, like, what do we do with it? Because it's not as fun as the other one. You're not going to whip it out at parties and say, you're in the 86th percentile for neuroticism. Woo!
So reasons that scientists like Emery want to understand our personality is to find out what our personality can tell us about what's going to happen in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that if something yucky is going to happen to us, like, can we intervene somehow? In a way, can our personalities give us a little crystal ball into the future?
If I measure your personality now, in 10, 15, 20 years, does your personality predict these things that happen to you or that you do?
So recently, Emery and her colleague published this study. They took people's scores on the Big Five and tried to predict things like
who gets married, who gets divorced, who has a kid, work-related ones, who, you know, gets a college degree, you know, who is going to retire, who's going to get a first job, who's going to get a promotion.
And this study was really, really huge.
So we had about 170,000 people.
How did you feel when you finally got all this data in front of you?
Overwhelmed. I was just like a feral animal in my house for like 4 months, just staring at my computer and documenting these data. But the most exciting part was obviously once the models were done and I got to finally sort of like extract, you know, what we were finding.
They ended up finding dozens of cool patterns. And this was one of the most interesting ones.
People who are higher in neuroticism are more likely to die sooner. They're more likely to get dementia. They're more likely to, again, get all of these different chronic conditions. Neuroticism really is this kind of robust predictor of mortality.
Why? Why is that? Because I would have thought, like, if you notice things, you would notice that weird mole on your arm and get it checked.
Yeah, that can be true. But neuroticism also correlates with other risk factors of mortality. Things like smoking, but even pessimism, anxiety, and depression, stuff that maybe makes it harder for you to take good care of yourself.
And were any of them linked to living longer?
Interestingly, openness was the opposite. People who are more open do tend to live longer.
What about relationship stuff?
Okay, so people who were more extroverted were more likely to move in with their partners and get married. And that's maybe because you have more opportunities to meet people. You put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Other studies have found that being more neurotic is linked to not having such great relationships with either partners and friends. You may even be more likely to get divorced. And then there was one study of 400 newlyweds, straight couples, that found that at least in the woman, being more open was linked to having more sexual satisfaction.
Huh. And let me guess, in men, just living in the patriarchy was also linked to more sexual satisfaction.
Perhaps. And you might have noticed by now, this kind of test won't tell you who's your perfect match or that you should, you know, work in the arts because there's so much more about us. There's so much more than the Big Five. Even though it's been scientifically approved, it doesn't cover every single bit of ourselves and our personality.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, so Michelle, I think my last question is, if you have a crap personality, I shouldn't say crap personality, but you just told me that being neurotic is associated with early death and not having a great relationship. So like, can we change our personality?
I talked to Ted Schwabe, a personality psychologist from Michigan State University, to find out. How would you describe your personality?
Ooh, that's good. I always ask other people about their personality, but I don't often get asked about my own. I would say that I am like 99th percentile in terms of like curiosity. You know, I'll try any food once or I'll go to any place. And even if I don't like it, I'll be like, well, it was cool to try something new.
Yeah, so Ted and other researchers have done these amazing studies where they get Big Five data from thousands and thousands of people across different ages. Some have even been tracked across decades of their life.
Cool.
You know, repeated the tests when they're 20, 30, 40. And then, You know, Ted looks to see, does personality change? Or are we stuck with what we got? So I asked him, is our personality fixed?
The answer is extremely no, which is good. I mean, think about how organized and responsible you were when you were five. You probably could not survive as an adult with that level of responsibility.
When we're teenagers, we don't tend to have great conscientiousness. We're not organized and we're less agreeable. You know, think of the angsty teen.
Yes, that checks out.
And then through the next few decades, things get better and better.
We see these huge increases in conscientiousness and agreeableness and emotional stability throughout people's 20s. It's like, yeah, like my 20s, I got through them. I am now much more organized, much more responsible, much more, you know, capable of doing these things.
So scientists have described this as kind of like maturing, basically. Like you can see maturity.
Uh-huh.
And throughout the rest of adulthood, these three things just keep going up.
That's awesome.
But then later in life, like past our 50s, things do drop a little bit. We get less extroverted, less open to new experiences, and less conscientious.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how our personalities generally shift with age. But Ted wanted to know, are there big life events that people have that really change their personality? And so he looked at people's big five data over time and asked them, in the last 10 years, did you experience a life event that changed you?
And some of these events were absolutely wild. Like one person told this really long story. So we have like a little text box. You're not supposed to put in too much. So one person wrote us an essay about how they adopted a horse and that opened their heart to the world. And once they have this horse, now they see the goodness in people. And I'm like, wow, that's sick. And we would not have known to measure that.
That is sick. Oh my gosh.
Just the variety of experiences was really what struck us. Some people are like, I lost a loved one, you know, my spouse died. And actually, it was sort of freeing in a way. And I'm like, oh, that is not what our theories say. Our theories say that when your spouse dies, you should become depressed. And some people are like, nope, my spouse died and I became more emotionally stable. And we're like, okay. And then we look at their data and boop, 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 boop. They're becoming a little more emotionally stable.
Wow.
Other research has found that trauma can also affect your personality, potentially making some people more neurotic, but also perhaps more open and able to adapt.
So I guess like a lot of the stuff that we've talked about that could change our personality, we can't really control trauma for one, but also just aging and getting more introverted. Other than buying a horse, is there anything we can actively do if we want to change our personalities?
Yeah. Ted told me about the study out of Switzerland where they created a personality coaching app.
Mm-hmm.
They had over 800 people say what they wanted to change about themselves. And so, you know, say you ticked, I want to be more extroverted.
They'd give them these little challenges that are like, say hello to a cashier next time you see them, or make sure to do something social this weekend. And turns out people's personalities changed in the ways they wanted them to once they did this intervention. And the changes stuck after the intervention ended, and close others were able to say like, oh yeah, that person's becoming more extroverted. And it seems like people who want to change their personality, if they follow through with these things, it seems like they can make these changes, which is kind of crazy because we think of personality as like this very deep down thing. But like, hey, if I'm introverted, but I'm going to parties and I'm striking up conversations, maybe I'm becoming a little more extroverted.
That's cool. That's really cool. I mean, I find this all very hopeful because as I've been growing up, I have noticed things about my personality that are changing in ways that I don't really like. I think I am becoming more neurotic. And I didn't know that was the word for it until you were telling me about neuroticism. But I have been noticing things more, worrying about things more that I, and in a way that I didn't used to before. And it's really nice to know that that I can change it.
Yes. Yeah.
this was just a piece, a little piece on our full and super interesting personality test episode. To listen to the whole episode, you've got to head over to our main feed. So to do that, it's really easy to find. You just search for Science Versus, that's Science VS, on whatever podcast app you're using, and then click on our episode, Personality Tests, Who Are You Really? We look at what popular personality tests can and can't tell us about who you are and which one you should trust the most. I'm Wendy Zukerman. I'll back to you next time.